As always, I am blessed, and it is a privilege to be able to stand before you and bring forth God's word. This morning, we're going to see if we could get some new water out of an old well. Amen, amen. So let's see what God is going to give us this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we bless your holy name this morning, Lord. You have wakened us up this morning, Lord, and you have awoken us, Lord, to see the sunshine that has been away for the last few days. And it is good to see your wonderful works, Lord. It is good to have the sun shining down on us. And we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I come to you this morning specifically asking that you prepare our hearts for a word from you, Lord. We need to hear from you this morning, Lord. We don't need to hear from Cedric. We ask that Cedric would decrease and you would increase this morning, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you would anoint me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, Lord. Lord, I believe that there is somebody here that needs to hear from you this morning. And I ask, Lord, that you would touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord, with this message, Lord. Change them with this message, Lord. We just want to see your wonderful works in our lives, Lord. And we love you, Lord, and we can't get along without you. And we thank you for allowing us to come here to be fed and to eat upon you, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would open your Bibles to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Matthew, the 14th chapter. And we're going to begin reading at the 22nd verse. If you got there, just say amen. Let me know you're there. If you ain't there, just say hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. 1422. An oldie but goodie. And the Bible says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And the word of the Lord is already blessed. This morning, my brothers and sisters, I just want to talk to you just for a little while about blessings in the midst of a storm. That is, blessings in the midst of the storm. As we read, we find that Jesus had told his disciples to go before him and get into a boat and cross over the sea to the other side. Jesus had just finished feeding 5,000 men plus women and children. And there was a multitude of people all around him. It could be that Jesus wanted to get alone and pray, or he just wanted to go and get some rest. But for whatever the reason was, he commanded his disciples to get in the boat and cross over. And he withdrew himself from them and he went in the mountain to pray. But while these men was in the boat crossing over to the other side, it said a storm came. But before we get to that, I want you to notice something about the disciples. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They were in God's will. Jesus didn't tell them to get in the boat, and they said, well, I don't feel like getting in the boat right now. I'm not going to get in the boat right now. They was obedient, and they got in the boat, and they began to cross over. So we see that they was doing what they was told to do. In obedience, they were out in the boat, crossing over to the other side. But the text says, then the evening came. And when the evening came, while the disciples was in the midst of the sea, the boat began to be beaten by the waves. I don't want you to miss that. The disciples was doing exactly what they were supposed, what was told to do. The disciples was in the will of God. But a storm still came. The boat still was being beaten. I wonder if there's anybody here that is doing exactly what God has called them to do, that is in the will of God. Thank you, brother. But in the midst of a storm right now. I mean, you're coming to church every day. You're reading your Bible. You are giving God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. You are trying to follow what he tells you to do through his word. But you're still in the midst of a storm. Understand that even though we are in the will of God, we're still going to have storms in our life. And understand that all of us in this room right now are in one of three situations. We're either headed towards a storm, we're either just coming out of a storm, or we're either in a storm right now. I came to tell you this morning that even though it don't seem like you're going to come out of your storm, or it feels as though the weight of your storm is crushing you, what I come to make known to you that this morning is that there is hope. There is hope in the midst of your storm. And there is a blessing in it. I like this verse here. It says, For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 11 through 13. So let's get back to our text. The disciples are in the middle of the sea. Their boat is being beaten by the waves. And in John's account of this, he says that they were straining and struggling trying to get to the other side. So it's not like the disciples was not trying to get out of the storm. They didn't just throw in the towel and just say forget it. In the midst of their storm, even though they was in the will of God, they was trying to get out of the storm. They was trying to make it to the other side, but the storm was fierce. And that may be the same thing with some of us right now. With whatever it is we're going through. We may be scratching and clawing, trying to come out of it, but it does not seem like we're getting in anywhere. We take one step forward and then we end up taking 3, 4, 5 steps back. It just feels like we're being constantly beat down by something. One thing after the next. I come to tell you this morning, though, don't throw in that towel, because there is good news. Because verse 25 says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came walking to them on the water. Do anybody know that help is on the way? 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus come walking on the sea and he comes to the rescue. So, brothers, understand that even though we can't see God in the midst of our storm, God sees us. God sees us, and I'm a living witness that he may not come when he wants us to come, but he always comes right in the nick of time. And some of us here can testify when David says that when the righteous cry out for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and he saves the crushed in spirit. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when you are going through your storm, do you believe that God is going to save you? Do you believe that he's going to bring you out of it? Or do you just throw in the towel? I believe for most of us, we want to believe that. We do believe it, but our flesh gets in the way. And oftentimes we turn to other devices. Oftentimes we kind of throw up our hands and we give up. That's the humanness in us. So here comes Jesus walking on the sea. And as he comes walking on the sea, can you believe it? The disciples was terrified. They were scared. The text says that they thought they saw a ghost. Well, actually, if I was in the midst of a storm and I saw something coming at me, defying gravity on the sea, I probably would have been scared too. I have to confess that. But remember what Timothy tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7. Timothy says that for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So when we find ourselves afraid, we should automatically know that that's not of God. Because we are born again, blood washed believers. And by us being born again, blood washed believers, we ought to know that God does not give us a spirit of fear. That is one of Satan's devices that he used to cause us to, or try to trick us to throw in the towel. But thanks be to God that Jesus sees his disciples, that they are afraid. And Jesus says to them, take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid. And then we have Peter. Then we have Peter. Peter says in verse 28, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And the Lord said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came to Jesus. I like that. Peter got out of the boat and he walked on water. We don't know how long Peter walked. We don't know how far Peter walked. But we do know the text says that Peter walked on water. Brothers and sisters, Peter was in the midst of the same storm that the other disciples was in. And in the middle of the night, in the middle of the sea, when the waves is beating the boat, when everything looks bad, the Lord told him to come. And he made a conscious decision to get out of the boat and go to Jesus walking on the sea. Those of us here this morning that may be going through a storm, or when you go through your storm, is something that we all need to remember. We need to take Peter's example on this. Why do I say that? Oftentimes when we are in our storms, we are letting our situations or circumstances overtake us instead of being still and knowing that God is who he say he is. We let the chaos drown out God telling us to come. So instead of getting out of the boat, we stay in the boat being afraid. I come to tell you this morning, it's time for all of us in here to get out of the boat and stay out the boat. Well, if you're in a car and he tell you to get out the car, you need to get out the car too. Okay? It may be that God is telling us to get out of the boat. He's telling us to come. He may be telling us to walk on water. That's right. Yeah, you could. Peter understood something that we all got to understand this morning. And that is, it's better to be out the boat with Jesus than in the boat without him. Peter understood that. It's better to have Jesus in the midst of your situation, whatever it may be, and not have him while you're in it. And you may say, well, I got Jesus. You know, I'm born again. I'm born again. I got Jesus. I'm a blood-washed believer. This is true. I'm not saying none of us aren't. What I am saying is, even as a believer in Christ, we sometimes let the weight of our situations and circumstances crush us. And instead of trusting in the Lord, we trust in self and every other thing that we shouldn't be trusting in. That's what I'm trying to get us to see. And I believe that is what this text is, one of the things this text is trying to get us to see. Now, I could imagine that possibly, I don't know, this is my imagination here, that the other disciples was in the boat when Jesus said, tells Peter, oh, come on out of the boat and walk on water. I can just imagine the other disciples in the boat said, Peter, you can't walk on water. Peter, don't get out that boat, Peter. Peter, you're going to drown. Are you crazy, Peter? Don't get out that boat. I can imagine that happening. Because they see the storm that Peter's in, because they're in the same storm. They see the winds and the waves. The boat is rocking. I can just imagine. Peter, you better not get out of this boat. This is the best and safest place for you. I can imagine that happening. And I also could imagine, in the midst of your storm, your situation, your circumstance, I can also imagine other folk around you telling you, man, you better do this here. Don't listen to that God mess. Yeah, well, you know, the Bible do say that, but let's be realistic here. Yeah, I believe the Bible too, but come on. Have you ever seen something work out like that? I can see that happening. I mean, and I can imagine that's what these disciples was doing. And I'm quite sure some of us, if not all of us, have felt that same thing. We have been told those same things. I mean, just think about when we first came to Christ, what everybody said. Those friends, they began to treat you way different. They began to say, you don't need to be with them Jesus freaks. I can see it. I experienced it. But this morning, my brothers and sisters, I want you to know that don't allow anybody, any person or thing to stop you from getting out of the boat. You know, we look at this passage oftentimes, and because I've done it, I've used it as an evangelistic message, but you know, this is for the believer. This is something that we have to go through constantly, over and over again. We have to remind ourselves of these things because we see stuff and we get scared. And we let our stuff stop us doing what we already know what God has told us to do. We got to be like Peter and get out that boat. But the story don't end there. The story doesn't end there. Something critical that we all must know happened. In verse 30, he said, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? It's one of the other things I really was trying to get to. O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Everything was going well for old Peter. He did make the right decision. He got out the boat. He began to walk on water. But the text says something happened. He saw the wind. And he got afraid. And he began to sink. What did Peter do wrong right there? Took his eyes off Jesus. That's the whole key right there. We let our situations and circumstances take control of us, and we keep our eyes off Jesus, take them right off. Why do we do that? We learn from the text, we do it because of one of the reasons we do it is because of fear. Why? We have nothing to be afraid of, Timothy told us. God does not give us a spirit of fear, remember? So why is it is so easy for us to get afraid of the enemy when he's already defeated? Why do we do that? Who want to help me here? Could somebody help me with this? We look at the waves. Yes. So my God, your God, who created the waves, controls the winds. That we're supposed to be covered by, we still allow ourselves to get afraid? Why? Human nature? Our faith is not where? Is it weak or is it strong? It's weak. So how are we going to strengthen our faith? Yes, that is a big one. That is a big one. We get to a place where we think our britches are too big. You know, I got this down already. We get complacent. Faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the word of God. So we get to a place where we're not hearing like we used to. We're not in our word like we used to. We don't have the fire we used to have when we was a babe in Christ. We get complacent. We used to spend 30 minutes, an hour, 4 o'clock in the morning praying. We stop doing that. I'm bigger than that. I'm past that. I don't have to do that stuff no more. That's for the baby Christians. Yeah. That's what happens. And then you know where you really are when a situation comes. Because before, when the situation came, you would automatically say, I ain't worried about it. God got my back. But now when a situation comes, I don't know, I might have to do this here to make this work. We didn't forget all about God. We do that. And we have to remember that we are very prone to wonder, and we will do those things. We have to remember, we have to always take it back to the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light. I was telling one brother, I say, man, I try to keep the pain up front. Brother was telling me, oh, I try not to dwell on the past. I don't dwell on the past either, but I try to always keep the pain up front. I want to remember what I used to go through. I want to remember how it was. I want to remember the things I used to have to do in the situations and circumstances that I was in and how I responded and what the result was, because I don't want to go back to that. And I told her brother, he said, I keep doing this. I say, well, why don't you try that? Keeping the pain up front. It may not work for you. It works for me. Keep the pain up front. Remember how it was before. Don't dwell on it. Don't wallow in it. But leave that as a reminder for yourself not to go back to that. That's what I do. Works for me. Okay, I don't want to go on a rabbit trail here. You know, it's been a lot of rain this week. And all of us here, I'm sure we watch the weather forecast and and the news to see what the weatherman gonna tell us. And why do we watch the news? To prepare for the next day, to find out if it's going to rain, if it's going to snow, if it's going to be a storm. Let me ask this question. Even if we prepare for the rain, do the storms still come? Yep. Right? Okay. So we watch the news, we try to prepare, and we realize, okay, we prepare, but the storm is still coming. And just because we prepare, it doesn't stop it from coming. But what it does when we prepare is stop the rain from falling on us so we don't get wet, right? If you take an umbrella outside, you know, you watch the news, you prepare, you take your umbrella, you go out and get in the rain, and throw your umbrella up, right? So you don't get wet. That's the only thing the news does for you, help you prepare and make sure you take an umbrella or a raincoat with you. Now, if you left the house with your umbrella, you can testify to the fact that with Jesus as your umbrella, even though the rain and the storms come, you're not getting wet. Catch what I'm trying to say here? You have some protection and you have a covering in the midst of that storm. Jesus is in the midst of the storm with you, my brothers and sisters, and I came to encourage you this morning that it is better to be with him in the storm than without him. Verse 32, as we're coming to a close, says, "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God." The wind ceased. The storm has been calmed. And we find Peter and Jesus getting back in the boat, and we see the chaos has stopped. And then the other disciples has witnessed a miracle. And they have witnessed the power of God firsthand. All they can do now is worship him for who he is and what he has done. That's what we want people around us to see. That's the testimony we want to have for other people in our lives, the saved and the unsaved. I can testify to this fact in my own life. For me, my life before Christ was chaotic. Very chaotic. A lot of misery. Storm after storm. Most of it was of my own doing, you know, and God allowed it. Misery after misery. Dealing with drug addiction for years. Dealt with going to the penitentiary back and forth. Gang banging. Not good. I was in total destruction, utter despair. And a lot of it, I liked it. But God had a different plan and purpose for Cedric Andrews. he had a different idea of what Cedric was supposed to be. And I know all of us in here got our own story to tell. You know, your story is not like my story. But I know for me, I was in the gutter. There has been times in my life where I was those same people that I get changed to. You know. And even worse, when I was functional, I was even worse. I mean, I'm not one to glorify my sin or the stuff that I went through, but if you ever want to talk about and want to know a story, let's sit down and talk sometime. And you would not believe what God has done for me. You would not believe. I would never have thought that I would be up here talking to you. No way. No way. When Paul says he was the chief of sinners, I can relate to that. I can relate to that. When he talks about being in prison, I can relate to that. I know what that's like. Now, and for my story, it may have been really drastic and dramatic for you, but this is everyday life with the people that I hung with. This is what they do. This is what they know. And I know your story may be different from mine, but your mess is mess too. Amen. It's all sin. It's just from one extreme to the next. That's all. I'm saying all this to say that if God could clean me up, and I'm still a work in process, if he can do what he's done in my life, and he can do it for you guys, why is it so easy for us to take our eyes off of him when we know what he's done already, what he's brought us through already? We got to do better. We got to do better. Our life got to be a testimony for those other folks. So all they can do is worship and praise God because they know how you used to be, how you used to operate, the things you used to do. They know all those things. When they see me now, they have no choice but to say, yeah, that was God. Yeah, that could nobody do that but God, because that dude there. If you ever want to know my story, come up to me. We can have a long conversation. We'll talk. Ask me about this guy they used to call Smiley, and I'll tell you something. But you got to promise me you're gonna still be my friend. All right. Like I said, I know all of our stories is different in many ways, but it's the same in that Jesus all called us out of darkness into the marvelous light, and that's a very high calling for all of us. Now we are required to live a certain way, and not just live a certain way. We are required to respond to storms, situations, and circumstances differently than the world, differently than how we used to respond to them. And if other folks see us responding to them the way we used to respond to them, they're not going to do with that last verse. They're not going to do what the other disciples did, praise and worship God. Because you do the same thing that they did when they go through storms. That's what I'm trying to get at, you know. First, we need to make the decision, get out that boat. Even when we're saved, we still got to hear his voice. We still got to get out of the boat. And then not take our eyes off of him. Amen?
Amen.
Any questions, concerns, comments? Y'all know, oh, okay, Joe. Let me get it. Go get you a microphone. I'm sure they are, but I don't know where it is. Go for it.
Thank you. I've never considered Peter's question before in this way. To me, it was always, you know, he got out of the boat, he blocked, he took his eyes off Jesus, and he ended up in the water and had to be saved, and Christ stopped the storm. But what a question to ask. Hey, if you're really who you say you are, call me to walk on the water. I got to tell you, I've never considered, all these years, I've never considered that question until just now.
Strange, isn't it? He's already been called by Jesus. He's already one of the disciples. And he's still questioning. Hey, if you really Jesus, call me out there. The best part about it is, you see the decision he made. He made a decision consciously. I mean, think about that. I mean, picture that. You're in a boat. Yeah. Do I get out? Do I get out? Do I don't? Questions, concerns.
I think what you said about preparations is key. Because those of us who've been in the faith for a long time, grew up in church and, you know, confessed Christ at a fairly young age, you know, it's easy to become complacent as a Christian. And then all of a sudden the storms come and you're like, wait a minute, I never even bought an umbrella. I didn't think it rained here.
I left my umbrella at home.
I didn't even own one. I was just, you know, never needed it.
Yeah.
Which obviously that's kind of an exaggeration. The analogy breaks down at some point, but just preparation. And there was one other thing when, you know, as believers, when we are called out of the boat, when it doesn't go as the way we thought it was going to go, we immediately think, oh, well, I guess I shouldn't have gotten out of the boat.
I better get back in the boat.
Better hurry up and get back in the boat. Yeah. You know, because we expect a certain outcome rather than just trust. Because it's, you know, his ways are not our ways.
That's right. Preparation. How do we prepare? Preparation is not just on Sunday at 9:30, Sunday at 10:30. That is a little fuel that you're adding to the fire that you should already have burning inside of you that you have been kindling all week long. How do we prepare? Do we even prepare? What do we do on Monday through Saturday? Are we doing anything at all? These are the questions you need to ask yourself and answer them truthfully. And if you are not preparing, it is imperative that you start preparing. Spending that time praying, reading, listening, hearing, working through your own issues that you have.
That was excellent, Cedric. I think one of the things God set up this whole situation for was to show Peter not to trust in himself. And because Peter was really strong in that, we see again and again. In my case, before I came to Christ, I knew I was hopeless and helpless without Christ. After I came to Christ, I knew I was hopeless and helpless without Christ. And that's where the preparation comes in. Because if you know that,
yes,
you spend time in prayer.
Yes.
Okay? If you know that, you come to
that's
the
right.
Word.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
if right. you know that,
that's right.
You try to keep your eyes on Him, because otherwise you can't walk at all.
Amen. 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 So do we think our britches are too big? Do we think we are bigger than what we really are? Do we think we are that far along that we are not hopeless and lost and dead without Christ? If you think that, if you believe that, you're going to soon find out in your storm what you're really made of. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you gave us to go through these truths, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. This is something we've read over and over again. We've read this story. We've heard it over and over again, Lord. And we thank you for the reminder that we got to keep our eyes on you, Lord. We got to keep our eyes on you, Lord. Father, help us to continue to prepare ourselves, to be on guard. Help us, Lord, to stay in deep preparation, Lord. Lord, we ask that you don't allow the busyness of life, Lord, to get us caught up, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would make time stand still for us. Cause us to make sacrifices, to spend time with you, to talk with you, to pray with you, to read our Bibles. And not just to check off a list, Lord, but to really get to know you, Lord. We ask that you would strengthen us, Lord. Help this passage of scripture be a stark reminder to us, Lord, that we can't get complacent. We have to kindle our fires all week long, Lord. We ask that you would do that, Lord. Carry us along by your Holy Spirit. Fill us with it, Lord. Anoint us with it, Lord. Please. I pray for the coming service, Lord. I pray that you will continue to prepare our hearts. Prepare our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth. Prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive the word from our shepherd. And I pray all these things. In Christ's name, amen.